Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of
memories.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of
memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, once again, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to open our hearts and minds so, Father, that we can be receptive to this, your word, and that we can obtain more of the truth, Father, and the power and the strength of your word in our lives, but not just in our lives, Father, but will go forth with us so that we can help others and move us the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Romans chapter 9. But I'm going to read through the first 6 verses, and then we're going to take a look at them. Beginning here with verse 1. He says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. 3, for I could not wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brother, my kinsman according to the flesh. 4, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? 5, whose are the fathers and of whom are concerning the flesh? Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. They ended 5 there with amen. Not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, you know, as we come down through there, we know he's talking about his kinsmen, the Jews. And he's letting us know that Paul is expressing his sorrow for Israel. And a question that he now undertakes concerns the privilege and the spiritual blindness of the Jewish nation. And it is a natural question following chapter 8, which we did last evening. And he has the promise of God failed Israel, and could his promise fail in our case? We know that the promises of God does not fail. The failing that is done is within man, not within God. God gave his promises, and God keeps his promises. But mankind don't always keep his end of things. And when he doesn't, then nothing is going to work for him. Because you see, the Lord our God, pardon me, will not force anything on us. Nothing. Now, Paul goes on, recites Israel's privileges that was bestowed because of their relationship to God, and they are called Israelites. The name actually bestowed upon Jacob by God. And the adoption with the definite article may look at a particular event when Moses was instructed to stand before Pharaoh and tell him that Israel was God's son. He speaks also there about glory, which refers to the glory cloud that led Israel from Egypt to Israel, and the covenants refer to Israel's four great unconditional covenants that govern all that God will do for and with Israel. The Abraham covenant, which is we know is in Genesis, making them a nation forever. The Palestinian covenant that's in Deuteronomy, making them a land forever. And the Davidic covenant in Samuel. Now, and a new covenant that's with Jeremiah and his redeemed people. And the giving of the law, which refers us back to actually the time of Sinai. And the service of God refers to the offering, priesthood, and their Levitical institution. And the promises refer particularly to the messianic promises. Now, he refers to the fathers, actually takes us back into the Old Testament, the patriarchs and the leaders, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, Moses, and David, and so on. You know, Christ is their national truth. Humanly, he came from Israel. God blessed forever is probably not a doxology, but rather a spontaneous and assertion of Christ's deity. These are things you and I need to really know and get to understand greatly within our lives. And you know, there in 6, he's talking about they are not all Israel which are of Israel. That contrast is between Abraham's physical descendants and his spiritual descendants. And not all of Abraham's physical descendants are actually to be recipients of his spiritual blessing. And you and I now that actually joins in with his family, and for all purposes, we are as same, pardon me, as the same as the Jews. And that's a lot of what he's talking about there. Because you see, most of us today in the church world that are called Christians are of the Gentile nations. Because most of Israel stayed with the law instead of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is coming a time that most all of Israel will be saved. The Bible tells us that. But there's going to be a lot of them lost before that day gets here. And it was of their own choosing. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as who he was. They would not accept him. They have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. They're still depending on themselves and the law. And that will not work. God's word tells us that and has told us many times since we've been studying. Now, 7. It's kind of damp here again this morning. You can tell that by my voice. Now, 7, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. You see, each one of his, their seed comes from his children. Not all are his. But we come from that bloodline. You and I, once we become that child of God spiritually, we are coming from the bloodline of Abraham. I'm going to have to get me a sip of vinegar here. See if we can't get this cleared up a little bit. Burns just a little. All right. Now, that is they which are the children of the flesh. These are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. You see, those that are walking in darkness are not the children of God. It is those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and has put their love, their faith, and their trust in him, and that is walking and living by the word of God, and has gotten rid of that old man sin that they were born with. They are the seed that God is looking for. 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, we're seeing something else here. 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. 11. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that called. You know, that love and hated, you know, that comes along with us there in Scripture, they're not really matters of emotion. They are matters of the Father's will. And dating to biblical times. And the expressions loved and hated are used of a man who could afford to adopt only one or two twin orphaned boys. And he was said to have loved the one he adopted and hated the one he did not adopt. And here all that is signified is that Jacob was blessed and Esau was not. We studied that, if you remember, back in the Old Testament. Now, 12 here, because it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. And it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. You see, there it is written in black and white. 14. What shall we say then? Is the unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. 16. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You see, all good things comes from God. Now, there are times he'll let us go through hard places and hardships and things that will come against us that we really don't like. But he still does not leave us alone. The Lord Jesus Christ is always with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And that's what will give us the strength to make it through whatever it is that is coming against you and I. Now, 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. You see, God had warned Pharaoh. He had told him. But there again, man wanting his own way and rejecting that of God, and he would not do as Moses was telling him God wanted him to do. And God kept working different miracles and showing his power. Pharaoh was seeing it and still would not accept those things and still would not let the people go until finally, in his own declaration, brought the last thing upon Egypt, which was God taking the firstborn of every family of the Egyptians and having the Hebrew people put blood over the top of their doors down each side so that the destroyer, as it went through, would pass over them, and they never lost a one. Pharaoh saw all that, and he finally let them go and then tried to run them down. What did that cost him? That cost him his whole army. Because they was trying to go through, Christ opened the sea and let Israel through. He was going to follow them through there. His army was. Didn't work. God closed the water upon them. They all drowned him. God will protect his own. He tells us and keeps telling us time after time after time in the scripture. But we are not listening. Now, Verse 19. Thou wilt say then unto me, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Mankind. And most of them. 20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repelleth against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? He's using there who has resisted his will. And does all this lead to fatalism? Paul does not answer this question directly, for it is absurd and raised by one who is ignorant of the righteous character of the infinite God and the finite character of man. Paul rather deals with the heart attitude that would produce such a question and reminds man of his limited understanding of the unlimited and sovereign God. We need to be very, very careful in our walk. And we don't need to be accusing God of anything that we don't understand. We need to go to the Word to find the answer to whatever problem we're facing. And if we are that child of God, and we go to searching the Word, we'll find it. because the Spirit will eventually lead us to it. He'll give us that answer that we need. You see, that's why he's with us. 21. Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make the one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? That's 21. 22. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endued with such long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to the structures? He's talking here and asking this question, but what if God is willing to show his wrath and make his power known by putting us through long sufferings in the vessels of wrath or anger fitted to destroy us? And God doesn't do that. Now, you see, all of those things that come against you and I that are the children of God comes from Satan. Once in a while, there is something God is trying to get to us that we are not receiving or not understanding, and we're not doing what it takes to get what the Lord wants us to have, and he will let us go through that trial or that tribulation for a period of time. And that can be hours, days, weeks, months, even years. But it doesn't mean that there won't come a time that God will take care of it. But that will be when you have done what you should have done to begin with. We all know things that's in God's word that we are not doing. And mankind out here, all around us, and we are watching the fall of church after church right now because they are not listening to what the word of God has told them. And, you know, they act like, well, you know, that's your belief, and maybe God told you that you can't do that. But now, he hadn't told me that. He's letting me go ahead and do it. No, when the word tells us not to do something, that means everybody. Because you see, God has put the word out there for all. And if he tells you to do it, that's also for all. And this is where we are messing up today, especially in our churches. And they are fallen. Right now, in the last several years, we have lost half of our churches. Think about that. And we are getting ready to lose more. Right here where I live, right around me right now, I know of 5 more churches here in this area, which is not a big area I'm talking about. that are right at the verge of having to close their doors. And it's because they're not listening to the word of God and doing what God has told them to do, and they're doing things he told them not to do. Well, now, Pastor, you sure of that? Yes? And how many of you listening to me right now this morning that has been in the churches with lady pastors? And yet he told them not to do it. He said he did not call a woman to teach nor issue authority over man. In fact, he used the word suffer. He said, I do not suffer a woman to teach nor usurp authority over man. Look that word suffer up, S-U-F-F-E-R, suffer. Look it up. And the meaning of it is allow or permit. So he said, I do not allow or permit a woman to teach nor usurp authority over man. And then in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he tells them that for her to speak in the church is a shame. So when they accept this, and all them that are sitting under that and listening and believing in that, they are seeing their churches go down, 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 and down. I got one that's less than a quarter mile from me right down the street I live on that just 4 years back, if you got there late, you would have to stand up. It was packed. It was full. They brought a lady pastor in. Right now, they're down to between 5 to 8 people. How long do you think they'll be able to stand? Not long will they be closing their doors. And they're using their churches. They're closing churches and use them for other things. And they will answer to God for it. If not in this lifetime, they will when they step out of this life and into the next. And there's a lot of other things they're doing that is against what God is telling them to do. And some of them right now are still good-sized churches. But how long will they last by doing what God told them not to do? And then there's a lot coming out of them already that is actually against the Word of God. Now, all right, 24, even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. You see, he's wanting to make known the riches of his glory and his vessels of mercy, which he had before. And he prepared that unto glory. Now, And he done it, not just for the Jews, but also for those of the Gentiles that is accepting him and his word and walking in obedience. 25. Now, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. He's talking here now about you and me, the Gentile people. Because you see, we had never been accepted by the Jewish people, nor did we know anything about God and study about him. We worshiped all kinds of different idol gods made with hands, not the true living God. Now, 26, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Oh, praise his holy name. Because today we have that authority and that right when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong then to his family. We have been adopted, grafted in. 27. Isaiah also cried concerning Israel through the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant. You see, he's letting us know they're not all going to be saved. There's a remnant out there that is fallen again. 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now, you know, he was talking about the remnant, only a remnant of Israel would be saved. And 28, he's talking here, and Isaiah, to show that conclusion of the whole matter. This anticipates the subsequent discussion in chapter 11, which we will be coming to here in another day. So we're not going to get into it right now. But let us continue on now through chapter 9 here. And Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabbath had left a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. And you see, that's exactly what happened. They would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected him, his own people. Those that should have really known. But the Gentile people began accepting him, following him, loving him and wanting him, And then on the day of Pentecost, everything changed that day. Think about that. Now, But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. They stumbled. In other words, they're talking here about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is the stone that they are stumbling at, that they would not receive. They would not listen to him. They would not heed him. Yes, there was a few, but as I said, it was just a remnant. Just a few. And still today, there's a few more being saved along the way, but it's still a small number, according to the nation of Israel. Now, we know, as I said before, there is coming a day that they will all accept Jesus. But that's going to be down the road a little ways. Now, 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not obtained to the law of righteousness. 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Now, we're going on into this last verse, 33. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. He's telling us there in that verse that he placed God there, and those that would believe in him should not be ashamed. Think about these things. Now, we're going to stop here. We've come to the end of chapter 9. I pray that everybody has gotten something out of the study this morning to help them to become a little stronger and closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, this morning, Father, we thank you for this word. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do pray for Israel. And we pray from the heart for them. We pray that they have peace, Father. But that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And that one day, Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And this land in which we live, Father, pray for it because it has turned its back. You have blessed this land, Father, greatly. And the evil leadership that we have allowed within our government that has brought all of the evil upon this land and its people. while we sit back, Father, very few said anything about it. Now, Father, I pray that we can all come together. Remove them from office that are evil and that has brought this evil upon this land, and to replace them with your children, those that love you, that love the Lord, love the church, and love your people and this land, and that will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word, Father, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for those that are part of this ministry, and those that will join with us for this study, in the study of thy word, may they grow, Father, in spirit and in truth. May they grow in their love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And that they begin to walk, Father, in the word, in obedience to whatever you ask of them to do. Now, Father, be with each one of us and use us all in great and mighty ways to reach out to the lost of this world and to be of help to them, to bring them to saving knowledge. Now, Father, keep us all through the day in health. Keep us safe. And bring us all back together again this evening, Father. And add a new one or two to us, Father, for this study. Now, Father, watch over each of us. Father, I pray for your blessing upon this ministry. It's yours, not mine, it's yours. This, Father, is my prayer this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great, great day. Bye-bye now.